Welcome to episode 156 of Sports Clicks and Politics. There we go. Hi, I'm Sean Hannon, joined as always by the charming and handsome Mr. Ben Huesong. Mr. Ben Huesong, how was your weekend?
Awesome.
Was it a newsworthy weekend, Mr. Huesong?
It was. It was a newsworthy weekend for the small town of Camillus. For those who don't know, our ice cream shop got broken into over the weekend. Somebody,
what the hell's wrong with people?
Somebody bashed in the glass door and, crawled in.
At least you weren't, targeted per se, since, you know, your neighbor also got involved.
Yep. Cam's got hit too. Cam's Pizzeria and us, simultaneously, apparently they tried to break into the liquor store nearby and a few other places, but they were unsuccessful. They did, you know, obviously this is New York State, so nothing's going to happen to these fine, upstanding citizens. but, you know, it was a frustrating weekend.
I mean, not that I'm, like, I'm sure there's not, like, some massive investigation, but, like, is there any, like, chance of ever getting these people? Did they find out these people? Do they, is there a video? At least you're like, oh, we at least have something, anything? So,
all right, God bless these police officers. They were fantastic. They came in, they're like, hey, you know, we'll do this, whatever. They said, if you want to press charges, you can't go inside until our investigations team gets here. I was like, okay. Yeah, we want to press charges. So that's, we'll wait. And they said, okay, prosecute. If you want them to be prosecuted. I said, look, if it turns out to be a 14-year-old kid, I might change my mind. But for right now, I want the option.
Sure.
So I guess, well, we got their team in here and, you know, they'll go through evidence and see if there's, like, fingerprints or anything. And I almost burst out laughing, like, come on, man, you and I both know you're not dusting for prints. Like, it's not happening. Let's not pretend. I know this isn't CSI, but he was being super nice, so I didn't want to call him out on it. I was like, oh, okay, good. So, obviously we have cameras, but they wore masks.
I think very safe of them.
I mean, you can't be too safe, I guess.
Probably no COVID. At the shop.
Yes, they were. I think that was why they had the masks on. But one of them, at least one of them, cut himself. I'm assuming it's a him. It seems likely.
Misogynist.
I know. Well, let's play the odds. If smash and grab break-ins are about a 99.9% male-dominated activity. They cut themselves crawling through the glass. So at least there's some justice.
Like, some DNA there.
Yeah. We'll run it against the database. Like, again, it's... All right, let's say that this guy's telling the truth. They're going to dust for prints. They're going to DNA analyze the blood. No, they're not. You want to know why? Because all that's going to happen is these guys are going to get an appearance ticket and be like, make sure to show up now. And that's going to be the end of it. Like, I'm not an idiot. I know that's how it's going to work.
Yeah, that's not a great weekend.
Nah, listen, it's not... We have insurance, everything else. It's the frustration. And it's the fact that my wife is 8 months pregnant, now has this to deal with on top of it. Like, guys, what have we... And not that there's ever a good day broken into, but, you know, Saturday was a bad one. We didn't need that on that day and at this time with everything else going on. So, stress to the max, and then this happens. And I will say, though, like, you know, obviously everything has an upside. The people were fantastic. Like, the people within Camillus, we had people coming up to the shop, even when we were closed. Like, a family came up and, like, hey, we just wanted to... give you money towards your deductibles. Like, no, it's really okay. They're like, no, we insist. And there was, like, a religious aspect to it. Like, no, like, we love this. It's so nice. And then just when we reopened Sunday, you saw the post where we have a wooden door now. So we invited everybody.
Very rustic of you guys.
Come and draw. Like, color it, do whatever, let your kids write on it, sign the door and whatever else.
You should be able to hang that. After it's done, it'll just hang on the wall in the back.
100%. It's going inside the shop once we have a glass door back up. But I think the people reaching out, the number of people that just sent me a text message or a phone call, like, do you need anything? What can I do? What do you need?
I wasn't one of those guys, but...
But you shared it, and I liked your comment. Like, even my one son was like, who robs an ice cream shop in April? Like, fair.
Well, low IQ criminals.
Yeah, and then I got a lot of feedback on my quote in Syracuse.com, which, by the way, this is like the third or fourth time I've been in Syracuse.com. Like, it's becoming a thing. I'm not that interesting to be. I never thought I would be in there once, but...
I mean, it's Syracuse, but...
Here we are.
Only because I've been in there, too. That's so fair. It's hard for me to...
You get it.
Yeah.
But they when we walked...
At least, I think you're a little bit more diversified, though.
I've been there for a few different reasons. So I walked in, and apparently... The faucet in the bathroom was running when we came in. So I think what happened was I literally said it like, it's like the wet bandits robbed us. And that went into Syracuse.com. So I had several people reach out to me. Like my little sister sent me a text, like screenshot, like, you're an idiot. I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
I mean, at least they left the F word off because I think the actual quote contained it. So that was my first, like, what else do you think? You walk in, you've just been robbed. You know you've been robbed. Then you hear the bathroom faucet running like, did we get hit by the effing wet bandits? Like, what reality are we in right now that this is happening?
Wait, did they leave the faucet on at Cam's, too? Or just yours?
I don't think so. No. I think it was just ours.
Oh, so maybe you were targeted.
No, because Cam's, they broke the door and then reached up and unlocked it and got in that way. Our door doesn't work that way. It's a very tricky door to open. But, so when they smashed it, there was nothing to unlock, so they had to crawl through. And it doesn't look like it would be terribly sharp because, obviously, it's
so maybe he was washing glass. His...
Probably.
Cut. Yeah.
Because well, ultimately.
Sanitary. These guys, I mean, at least, you know.
They.
OSHA approved.
OSHA. I mean, they definitely got cut. Like, that glass was so sharp. So then I had to go and smash out the rest of the glass the next day so we could make room for the wood.
No, that's fun.
It was. I mean, even I was like, I better wear safety goggles and gloves. Like, I never wear safety equipment. I was like, this is going to be the one that gets me. So I was very safe when I did it. We cleaned it all up. Like I said, everybody was great about it. It was very helpful. Appreciate everybody that reached out. Thank you. And it was, it just was frustrating of I got 1,000 things going on. I don't have time for this.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully that doesn't really, like I said, it's April. So like you have plenty of time to recover.
Hope
so. The ice cream season is and shark attack season are
yes.
closing in on us quickly.
Ice cream leads to shark attacks. It's science. So that's just the reality.
I don't know why I find that joke funny, but I say it pretty much every year. So
it's one of my favorites.
I'm glad you have a shop so that I can use that joke more regularly.
You're welcome. I did it for you. Don't forget.
So did all the activity there. Wait, before we get into any of the topics here,
yeah.
Let me remind everybody to like the video, share the video, subscribe to the channel. I wonder if we're broadcasting on Twitter. I hit a button today that may have broadcasted it on Twitter.
So, all right, Elon, hook us up.
So retweet us on Twitter. Oh, wait, it's not Twitter anymore.
X.
Whatever. I'm never going to call it that.
X going to give it to you.
Sorry. So did all those, did cut into your Masters viewing time over the weekend?
Yeah, a lot. Sat down and watched like every minute on Thursday. And then Friday I was working around the house with, one of the 19 projects that's ongoing. And then Saturday, I didn't watch a minute because I got so put back on, some of the home projects that I couldn't sit down and watch any more golf. And same with Sunday. Like, I just had to get caught up from everything else.
So, I watched a lot of it. One of the more unique Masters that I remember because the wind was just bonkers. Like, multiple players were shooting, 80s.
Why?
Like, that doesn't happen. Like, the best players... Some of the best players in the world. Brian Harman is a guy who's not one of the best. I mean, he's one of the best players in the
world.
He was on the Ryder Cup. But, I mean, he finished, double, triple, double. Like, that doesn't happen to pro players ever. No. Not three holes in a row. Whatever. And that's just one guy. I mean, there was, plenty of top-end players missed the cut or, Tiger shot a 80 in his round. So, like, I mean, there were big numbers out there. Let's just say that. And the wind just never gave up. It made it a very low scoring Masters. Other than the winner who, literally hits the golf ball the most. Have you ever seen his footwork on his golf shots? It's unteachable.
I know.
Like, I heard somebody say it in the broadcast. They were like, oh, this is going to get people looking at his footwork. I'm like, there's nobody, you can't teach that. It's like Jimi Hendrix playing the guitar. Like, I don't know how Jimi Hendrix would teach anybody how to play his version of guitar. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's crazy. But.
It works.
Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. Second Masters, second in 3 years.
Yeah. That
and
one.
Kind of in a route. I mean, he was at minus 11. The rookie Aberg was at minus 7, and then, a group at minus 4 and down. So, it was never. There was a time, I think with 10 holes left, that there was maybe 4 people tied at minus 6. And then the back 9 on Sunday was just. All Scottie Scheffler.
The Scheffler show, yeah. So
everybody else imploded, too. Like, I mean, he didn't. He excelled, and everybody else just
collapsed.
Yeah.
So I do a yearly bet with a friend of mine on the Masters.
Okay.
And we changed the terms this time around.
Oh, okay.
So we do like a draft. We each pick four. So, you know, if you pick one guy and then the other person picks two, then you pick two, then the other guy picks two, then you pick one. So it'd make it kind of fair. And the only thing that matters is who's the winner. Okay. You could have one guy miss the cut. You'd have everybody miss the cut. But if your guy finishes highest of the eight, you win the bet. And so the terms of the bet this year are the loser had to buy the winner a good bottle of scotch or some other similar
Hibiki?
Whiskey. Maybe, but a good bottle, that kind, that or a buff. Yes, yeah, like, yeah. All right, like a nothing excessive, but a very gotcha. Nice bottle.
Yeah.
And the winner has to buy the loser the worst bottle of whiskey he can find. And we're going to see each other later this week. And the first drink is the winner pouring for the loser, however much he feels like, into a rocks glass. Of the worst whiskey he can find. And so we settled the first pick by a coin toss. I lost the coin toss. He got Scotty Scheffler. That was it. It was over.
Yeah. Well, enjoy that, I guess.
Not looking forward to it.
I mean, I guess you could root for like old granddad. Maybe you'll get that.
Oh. No, he'll come fighting up with something special. I have no doubt he'll do something to exceed my worst expectations. He's just that kind of friend.
Well, I'm rooting for you.
It's going to be
and
terrible.
Him too, actually. So
I'm going to see how much ice can fit in a rocks glass. That's gonna be my goal.
All right. Maybe we should talk some more sports. Maybe we should talk some Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
OJ and died. What?
I didn't know that was where you were going.
I know. That's the beauty of it. I wanted to get your take on Stephon Diggs being traded, though. We haven't talked since that happened.
I know.
And now I feel like the Steelers and the Bills are both in the trade sweepstakes for Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco. Like, both teams have been rumored to that guy, and he's been rumored to be on the trading block, so it makes sense.
It would.
But any initial reactions to the hearing of Steph Diggs no longer a Buffalo Bill?
You know, I was sad. I always enjoyed him. He's a great football player. I loved it when they got him. I love might not be the right word, but I had some friends who were very opposed to the trade. And I was like, I don't know. I think it makes sense. Like, he's a top-tier wide receiver. You gave up a first-round pick, but he's on a manageable money contract for 4 or 5 years. And he's been very productive. He was very helpful with the development of Josh Allen. I mean, he's a wide receiver one by any definition of the word. He's one of the top guys in the league.
So unless you're on Houston, then you're wide receiver three.
It might be.
Go ahead.
No, but it was as much as I don't love it, I get it. Like, the Bills are, they went all
Listen,
in.
I always, in the NFL specifically, maybe this doesn't hold true and I don't pay attention enough to the other sports, maybe a basketball too, I don't know, maybe not. But you have to turn the page in the NFL so fast or you are 5 years out. Like, if you don't try to keep up every single year, you are going, at some point, you're just done. So that's why I kind of give the Steelers credit this year for kind of really shaking everything up. Like, they're like, okay, like, it's great that we won, you know, 10 games for 10 years in a row or whatever the, you know, whatever playoff streak, whatever that is. But we need to kind of get past that. And so if the apex was reached with the Allen Diggs relationship, then there's no better time than to move on from that. Like, riding on the downhill is not a great ride.
No. And look,
especially for a wide receiver one who all of a sudden can't, you know, he's not a big guy, so like, nope. He's got to get open.
He's a great route runner. He has terrific hands. And listen, I can't say enough good things about him. Now, I get it because he was also like 11% of the team's salary cap number, and there's just only so much you can devote to the wide receivers at this point, especially with how many talented ones there are.
Especially when you have a quarterback one.
Yeah, and with Josh Allen, all things are possible. Like, he's one of the top 2 to 4 guys in the league. It's crazy that you have him, so I understand. My only thing was, all right, this year sucks because you're still eating the cap hit, but this year also, there's people much more knowledgeable about this subject than I am are all saying the same thing. High-end wide receiver talent and deep wide receiver talent across this entire draft this year.
And I don't know how much this plays. I'm guessing it plays a little bit of a role, but apparently they increased the salary cap too. So, like, I feel like there's more money to be played around with. Probably. So that hit is less impactful than it otherwise would be with a lesser salary cap. So maybe there's just easier. Like I said, it's just if you can do it, just eat it, move on, and, you know, get it going. And like I said, if you can get a wide receiver on a rookie contract,
you get 4 to 5 years of affordable, not paying him, you know, $27 million a year. Like, it's five. It's a huge difference. And you don't need to, you don't need the next Stephon Diggs. You need 90%, 80% of Stephon Diggs, which if you draft, let's go with three receivers, the idea is, well, one of them should. One of them should turn into that. They got Curtis Samuel, which I know he's not remarkable, but he was also catching.
He gets open.
He gets open, and he was catching passes from Taylor Heinicke and I remember the Sam Howell. That's who played quarterback last year.
Solid fantasy lineup.
Solid production guy. The kid, Shakir, that they drafted has shown great potential. And, like, I've some friends who are like, Buffalo's a middle-tier team now. Like, let's calm down. They still have a top-five defense. They still have Josh Allen. I get Stephon Diggs is great, but just, you know, for you standards.
Yeah, I don't think Stephon Diggs makes them or breaks them, to be honest with you. I mean, like I said, I echo all the things that you said about him. He's a great player. He's a top-tier receiver. But
hate to lose him, but yeah, I get it. And it's not like the Bills are suddenly terrible all now because they lost him. And down the stretch last year, after they fired Ken Dorsey, I looked this up because obviously my Bills friends and I were all discussing this. After they fired him, when Joe Brady took over running the offense, the Bills went 7-1, and Stephon Diggs averaged like 4 to 4.5 catches a game. Like, he wasn't as impactful after with the new offensive scheme and play calling that they were running. Doesn't mean he didn't contribute. Doesn't mean he didn't get other guys open because they had to double team Stephon Diggs. I'm just saying, like, look, let's not panic. Let's not lose our minds here. He's a and good for Houston. They'll love having him. He's a phenomenal wide receiver.
Hey, he'll be great there. Yeah, they have two really good young raw receivers. They have a young quarterback. I mean, he'll, you know, in theory, should fit right in and make that team better. So, but I don't think the Bills are, you know, like washed or anything.
No, I think, again, if the biggest problem the Bills have is still Sean McDermott, and he's a good coach, but not great, not excellent. So I'm hoping that they continue. Their defense should be healthier. The offense, if you get a guy or two in the draft that you feel good about, pair him up with Josh Allen. Like, who doesn't want to play there? You're in fine shape. I mean, look, are you worse today than you were last week? Yeah, of course. You lost to Stephon Diggs. Is it your 80% of the team you once were? No, it's a slight drop. It's you're not as good, but you're not doomed. You're going to be okay.
All right, now give me your OJ takes.
This has led to some of the funniest things I have ever seen on the internet. Like, genuinely, the internet, I'm not usually a big fan, loving it over the last week. Just the memes that have come out, the sayings like, well, at least OJ can rest peacefully knowing his wife's killer is finally dead. But some of the jokes that have come out have been the best things I've ever seen. I loved it.
So I happened to live in Buffalo while the chase was going on.
Awesome.
Not that, you know, it was happening in LA, so it wasn't like it was happening in Buffalo while I was there, but there was, the city was like mesmerized. I mean, I think a lot of the country was, but I think Buffalo specifically was because he played there and was kind of like an icon, local icon there or whatever, but definitely a surreal, like, you know, flashback. And like, I'll always remember that. Like, I was sitting like, what are we doing? Like, we were all, like, I was living in Buffalo. All my friends had come into town and we were literally getting ready to go out. And all of a sudden this happened. So we were just watching the TV. And then I'm like, why are we just watching a TV? And we all came here to go out. And we're just literally watching a 12-mile-an-hour Bronco chase.
Did you see the one that like took the picture of that and be like, this better be his funeral procession?
No.
That was great.
No. But did you see that there's the owners of the OG original Bronco is selling it?
No, but it's smart.
Starting bid, $750,000.
Come on.
Yeah.
Did anybody bid?
I don't know. I just saw it before we went on the air. I was like, oh, man, somebody's trying to sell the... I was joking because I saw a bunch of OJ cards come on the market. And I was like, oh, people, you know, trying to buy the, you know, get that market cap or whatever, getting it out there in the zeitgeist. But no, I'm not either.
I'm not trying to buy anything having to do with OJ Simpson. That feels like bad juju. Look, the dude more than likely murdered two people and overall wasn't a great human. Now, I'm never going to celebrate anybody's death, as I've said several times before. You know, his eternal resting place is between him and God. I got my theories, but I you know, God doesn't clue me in on all things. So I'm not going to shed a tear over it. It's been such a polarizing figure in American society and culture. Like,
yeah, I mean, he was bigger than his, you know, he was way bigger after his, even he was a great NFL player, Hall of Fame player, but then became like movie star.
Became a movie star broadcast. Like, yeah. And he wasn't good at any of it. He was just so likable.
Yeah, he was charming. Yeah.
And it turns out he's just this terrible monster of a human being who beats the shit out of his wife and is known for this. Like,
now his manager's out there saying that somebody else did it. And
oh, Jesus.
OJ left the scene before it actually culminated. And therefore, that's why he has a clean conscience. And I was like, oh, okay, buddy.
How the blood get in a car there, Chief? Overwhelming. And here's the thing. Even the people that celebrated and think it was right that he was acquitted, nobody thinks he didn't do it. It was just, well, it's an unfair justice system, and therefore this was like, so you're good with the fact that he basically cut his wife's head off, but because the racial disparity of the justice system, he should go free? Ooh, that's a strong stance.
Yeah, I've seen that echoed out there, so.
But it seems on an individual basis, I mean, he did do some prison time because in all of his ingenious capacity, he decided to break into a hotel room in Las Vegas and commit an armed robbery of his own stuff. So
he had to get his Heisman back.
I mean, God bless the cameras. Norm MacDonald had some of the best OJ jokes ever. God. They're floating around the internet. Yeah. I encourage you to watch them. They're great.
He was one of the favorites.
Absolutely.
All right, and let's wrap up this sports segment here with an update on the Ohtani interpreter betting scandal. $16 million. That's what that dude, the federal authorities charged the former longtime interpreter of Los Angeles Dodger star Shohei Ohtani. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, sure.
Shohei Ohtani?
I think it's Shohei.
Shohei. On Thursday with federal bank fraud, alleging he stole more than $16 million from the Japanese sensation to cover gambling bets and debts. So the story goes, the interpreter apparently was even impersonating Ohtani at the bank, withdrawing money and shit. Ohtani could not speak English, so he was basically captive to this other guy who was kind of running his, turned into a de facto manager and apparently ran off with upwards of 16. I mean, let me get back down to this thing because there's a total amount of dollars here. I don't know if it's in this freaking article or not.
How bad are you at gambling? Good Lord.
Oh, listen to this. Federal investigators say Mizuhara, I guess that's the interpreter's last name, made around 19,000 wagers between December 2021 and January of 2024. Nearly 25 bets per day. On average, the wagers range from roughly $10 to $160,000, averaging $12,800. So he was making 25 bets per day, averaging $12,800 per bet, if just spread out over all that stuff. Mizuhara's winning bets totaled over $142 million. But he lost $183 million. So yeah, you're right, not a great bet. Lost $41 million. He also was clearly buying up like baseball memorabilia and shit, trying to, hoard that or whatever. Yeah. So,
Wow.
I guess this clears Ohtani. He's really the ignorance is bliss. He literally could not speak the language apparently, and we got taken advantage of. So
yeah,
I guess something to keep an eye out for future interpreters.
Yeah. Like, how do you not know that you're missing 16 million? Like, I don't know. You make 30 million a year and then endorsements. That's how you don't notice 16 million missing. I can buy it. I can believe it, especially since he doesn't speak English and he goes to the bank and he doesn't know what the dude's saying in English. So I think he did a bad job picking his interpreter or the team or whomever.
Yeah, no, it was clearly bad all the way around.
Yeah, bad job.
I guess the bookies are probably going to be, that's a lot of action to be off the books.
I mean, look, he lost 42 mil and he only stole 16. Are they going to whack him?
I don't know. I mean,
you at least got a kneecap the dude over that much money.
I'm guessing they made up, they made up another.
I would think so. I mean, 26 mil. How do you beat that out of a guy?
Okay, so I kind of hybrided your idea of these quick hits things and fit these in here. We're going to talk about whatever, however you want to talk about it. Havana syndrome? What?
I love it.
60 Minutes did a whole expose on Havana syndrome.
We were told that was false.
It is false. That's the whole, it's mind-bogglingly dumb that 60 Minutes is still running exposés on Havana syndrome, and it turned out to be crickets. And they're like, it's the Russians.
Everything's the Russians.
Everything is the Russians. It's so dumb. So, yeah.
So what did they say about Havana syndrome?
That is some kind of like sound weapon being implemented by the Russians or, somebody with Russian sympathizers or whatever. So,
okay.
It's all it apparently only affects people in the State Department. So, I mean, clearly it's
maybe some psychosomatic or maybe some bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. All right,
fair enough.
All right. What about the cicada apocalypse?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting worked up about that.
Yeah, that is, well, it doesn't really going to happen to us anyway. It's going to happen like in the Midwest. So, like, yeah. If it happens, we're gonna have a chance to run.
Good. Now, if I understand correctly, this happens like once every 20 years.
Or something. Yeah, the anomaly this year is that there's two different broods of cicadas that happen. They're like 17 year and 14 year, so it takes a while for them to line up over the decades, if you will. The last time these two broods came out of the ground together, I think, was like 80 something whatever years ago. So it's a rare occurrence. But again, I saw the map. It looked mostly in the Midwest, but.
I think, is it like the Sharks and the Jets? They're going to fight.
But I only bring this up because.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you're familiar with the 12 plagues? 7 plagues? How many plagues were there?
I mean, I knew until in the you Bible. Just said the 10 plagues.
10 plagues. Okay, good.
Like, sorry. Wait, stop throwing numbers.
Don't hold it against me. Because cicadas were one of them, right?
Oh.
The locusts,
yes.
They're the same thing, right? Aren't they same family?
I don't know what a cicada is. I don't know why we make up words.
Well, it's not a made up word.
All words are made up.
I guess that's what I was going to say.
Boom!
But,
oh boy,
did you know that a massive altar is preparing for the red heifer sacrifice ritual in Jerusalem in preparation for the end of the world? The apocalypse?
I did see this.
We're going to get to the World War III part of angle of this at the end. But, here we are. So we have the locust plague.
Yeah.
And maybe there's other plagues that I'm just not paying attention to right now.
I mean,
you know, there could be out there.
Death of the firstborn son was a pretty bad one.
Right. Well, that's the last one, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe we got to get there. But apparently, part of this,
I better get some lamb's blood.
This prophecy, there needs to be a sacrifice of red heifer. So somebody in Texas, good old Texas, they had 3 red heifers. Uh-huh. And they apparently have to be sacrificed before they have any non-red hair. So they're actually like bronzish in color. You can see the picture here. There's like a
is that reddish. Looking for non-red hairs with a magnifying glass?
Yes, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not trying to stereotype, I mean, but whoa, what yes. A thorough people.
But so they can't have any hair. So if they're sacrificed with any hair, that doesn't count.
So is this meant to bring upon the end of the world? Yeah. They're rooting for that.
They imported these red heifers from Texas. Some rancher in Texas was like, hey, I got some red heifers, knew of the prophecy, made a call to, I don't know, BB, and all of a sudden, the red heifers are on a plane, tugboat to Israel, and they're getting ready to get sacrificed.
Wait.
You got it right.
So the official government of Israel is actively trying.
I don't know if it was BB. But
all right, but
somebody got him. Somebody in Israel got hold of these heifers and is preparing an altar.
Is this an official Israeli position? Or are these like the weirdos that we have here that try to bring about the end of the world with song?
I mean, this prophecy goes way back. This is not like some new thing. It's just hey, all of a sudden we have these red heifers where we haven't been able to ever have these red heifers before. So now the door is open.
Leave it to Texas.
Fucking Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, even the red heifers.
If you were going to guess one state being indirectly responsible for bringing upon the apocalypse, you would have to guess Texas or maybe California. Either way. This seems like a bad idea.
Maybe on akin to gain of function research.
I mean, yeah.
Like, why push the envelope a little?
Right. Like, why? What's the upside here? It reminds me, and this is a little bit off kilter. I apologize. No. I'll be brief with the story, at least. I had a friend in high school who somewhere read that you can't physically kick yourself in the nuts. And he spent like a month trying. And finally, I was like, buddy, what's the upside? Like,
I mean, Guinness calls.
Best case scenario, you get kicked in the nuts. This doesn't seem like a well thought out thing.
TikTok fame.
This was pre TikTok. Oh, well. I was in high school.
Maybe he was ahead of his time.
It was the same thing. Like, am I saying that this is going to bring about the end of the world? No. But what's the best case scenario?
Why poke the bear?
Slaughter a cow? Like, God. I don't get people. I think it actually is like they think that once the end of the world comes, then there's some more to the prophecy that's actually good for them. I don't know what it is, though.
Yeah, the end of the world, they get to all go whatever, up to the, you know.
Jews don't really believe in heaven, though.
Yeah, but it's, I think this might be actually like a, I don't know. I don't know what the prophecy is. I just know that it's happening. Apparently, other people are really into it. The people are so into it that they're willing to import red heifers from Texas to and build a massive altar.
This is not going to help the anti-Semitic feelings in the United States, probably just not. So we're all clear.
Probably
this is not going to be.
No, probably not.
This is not going to help.
All right. So this is something that I just learned about this morning. And so I'm not going to be able to give you all of the background here, but this is regarding MH370. Do you remember the plane that disappeared?
Yeah.
So this guy, remember when the videos came out? There's a drone video and two videos came out like a couple months apart. This is like maybe like a year ago, 2 years ago. I guess they came out a long time ago, but they kind of got reintroduced and kind of got new legs. We actually talked about it here where there was like, hey, there's some video out here that looks like it's MH370, and then the plane disappears in the middle. The three balls are spinning around it. Yep. Remember we played the video?
Yep.
And so there's a chance that the strange case of Lieutenant Commander Edward Lynn, as the Navy Times article headline reads. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read some of this article just so I can give you the background. When Navy Lieutenant Commander Edward Lynn was first arrested at the Honolulu Airport in 2015, note that date, on a flight to China, military investigators thought they had uncovered an espionage case of epic proportions. Excuse me. A Mandarin-speaking Asian-American military officer accused of leaking highly sensitive U.S. military secrets to Chinese and Taiwanese officials. Now,
China and Taiwan one and the same? Sorry.
I'm reading this and I'm just making that. I mean, they're not really together. So why would you give both of those people the information? They're technically, I mean, not.
They're either the same country or adversarial nations. Right. There's not really a third option here.
Right. So after 2 days of intense interrogation, Lin confessed to telling a recently retired Taiwanese naval officer and others some highly classified details about the U.S. Navy weapons program, including the long-range anti-ship missile under development, a high-speed railgun, and laser weapon system being tested in the Persian Gulf, according to statements made at a recent motion hearing. So, when military investigators likely they had a key witness when they sat down to depose the retired Taiwanese naval officer, Justin Cao, who is cow? We just talked about heifers, and now it's cow.
We have a theme.
It's spelled K-A-O, so I'm guessing that, but it just came out that way. But anyway, who is also a Virginia Military Institute and Penn State grad who worked at the unofficial Taiwanese embassy in Washington. However, according to the copy of Cao's August 2nd deposition transcript that was obtained by Navy Times, Cao told investigators very little that would help convict U.S. Navy officer Lin. Did Lin ever share information about Navy's laser weapon? Cao said no. Did Lin ever say anything about the anti-ship missile program? Cao said he never heard of it. So the two things that supposedly this guy was arrested for don't really seem to add up.
Interesting.
Theory goes that this guy actually was the guy who released the two videos that I just talked about.
Mm.
He also supposedly, in theory, created this video and posted this as an open letter to an investigator of the MH370. And somebody has done some, let's just say, profiling of said person and thinks, and this is the guy who's been talking about these videos, Ashton Forbes. Now, a lot of people out there don't think that he's discredited. Like, he doesn't even, when he's presenting his information, he at least puts caveats like, I said, I don't know any of this stuff. Like, I'm just putting out this stuff that's coming out of here. So
Sure. Maybe
go watch this video. It's a little out there.
Uh-huh.
Diego Garcia whistleblower letter to Ashton Forbes.
All right.
You know, I don't know what Diego Garcia is, but apparently an alias.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, like, especially if it's Edwin Lin. But anyway, so the theory goes that this military intelligence officer put out this open letter, and the TLDR of the video is, hey, you're on the right track kind of thing. Keep looking. He goes into this, like, some bizarre stuff and outlines a technology that the United States can capture planes, for example, and move them in an instant to another place, i.e. the Philadelphia experiment, if you're familiar with the Philadelphia experiment.
I'm not.
So the Philadelphia experiment happened in the 60s, I believe, and where the U.S. government and the Navy decided to move a battleship from the Philadelphia, was the battleship, I feel like, and basically use some kind of like magnetic cloaking thing, and then all hell broke loose. But anyway, theory goes that they finally perfected this, and now that they can move items, and that's the assertion made in this video.
Interesting.
That the U.S. government has intelligence. It gets better, dude.
Awesome.
So the plane, now some of this is already knowledge that was out there, but kind of putting the pieces back together and thinking about it in another way. So there was what the fuck was the name of the company? Freelance Semiconductor, Free Space Semiconductor. Shit, I forgot the name of the thing. But anyway, it's Free Something Semiconductor. Gigantic company. They got bought, I think, last year, coincidentally. But almost all of their engineers were on that plane. And their families were on that plane. Story goes, they were defecting to China. They were American-owned. They were engineers in an American-owned semiconductor company. And they had the secrets of this technology. And that they were being flown to China. And the U.S. found out about it. And basically set up a diversion to capture that plane.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. I thought that was really weird. And then, it turns out this guy goes to prison for espionage. Lieutenant Commander Edward Lin. And I don't know. I just feel like I should get this out there in the zeitgeist and people should look into it.
Cause, I'm going to have to watch this.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, actually.
It's wild.
I don't know. Watch the video.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll send you the link to the video. Thank you. It's in the show notes. But so everybody watch the video. You guys can comment. Let me know if you think he's crazy or onto something there. But I don't know. I thought it was super interesting. And I literally just found all of this morning. So I was like, I'm going to jam it into the show somehow. So.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. All right. One more thing I want to get your quick hits. Florida woman who stole Ashley Biden's diary in 2020 sentenced to 1 month in jail.
I thought the diary was fake.
Right. So I purposely put CNN website up here so that we get like mainstream news. I mean, this has to be, I don't know, at least somewhat tacitly implying that the diary is real, right? I mean, like, we've read the diary pages. It's gross. So I don't know. I see this got attention, if you will, but not really a lot. Doesn't get the attention that it deserves, I feel like.
Yeah, I think according to CNN, this would mean then that since they, and the DOJ, because they charged this woman for, and listen, let's be clear, she didn't steal Ashley Biden's diary. Ashley Biden left her diary in basically an Airbnb that this woman
rented. It was a rehab center.
A rehab center.
So it was a rehab center, and Ashley Biden was in there.
Left her diary.
This new person came in there.
Found the diary. And then sold the diary.
Yeah, to Project Veritas.
Project Veritas. Okay. And now that would
RIP, mean. RIP Project Veritas.
That would mean, if I'm using my powers of deductive logic and reasoning, that Joe Biden did in fact take showers with his daughter Ashley Biden that she
inappropriate, I might add.
Deemed inappropriate.
Yeah. That's what we got going on.
Four more years. We talk about this a lot, but everything they can accuse Donald Trump of, there's something worse with Biden.
Yeah, Biden's the worst.
It's just unbelievable how consistent that holds. Like, no, because Trump does say some weird things about his daughter, but worse.
Always gets trumped.
Well done.
Yeah.
You're proud of yourself, aren't you?
No, I knew it was going to be a I should have done the. Oh, no. Nope. I could have done that. Nope.
Finally. Maybe you should label these.
No, I don't use them.
I know.
It's a waste of time. Whew. That was tiring right there, pushing all those buttons.
I bet.
I've been at NPR now for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. So, apparently big-time editor Yuri Berliner, a veteran of the public radio institution, says the network lost its way when it started telling listeners how to think. So, I don't really want to get too much into this, but now now the funding for NPR has turned into a debate again because this guy has come out and kind of basically said, yeah, we're biased. Shocker. And of course, NPR comes out and is like, we're not biased. Defending their whatever. So, I mean, I haven't listened to NPR and I can't even tell you decades. So, like,
I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever have really. I've like done it on accident a few times and every time I've been thought like, people actually listen to this?
But if I call them canary in the coal mine, there's been a bunch. But I mean, is this just another, you know, signal that the legacy media is basically not just being less respected by free thinking people, but like they still hold influence, even though people are like, you know, I don't care about the fucking news, but the news still influences people somehow. Like, is their influence actually being impacted?
So I think the biggest problem legacy media is having is the only people that still turn to them are older people. So, whereas it used to be that as these older people died, there was new people coming in and, like, replacing them as the audience for these channels, these magazines, these newspapers. And now there's not. Now it's they have lost credibility, particularly with younger people. And younger people are not going to suddenly start trusting them again. Now, I look at NPR similar to how I view The View, which is if you're still tuning into that for a good source of information, despite all of the evidence,
you're an NPC.
You're not going to change because the evidence is there. Like, it's not, this isn't new information. And just so everybody knows, I'm equally fair. I feel the same way about CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. Pick your channel. OAN, like, if you're still turning to them and looking at that as an unbiased, objective source for news, there's no redeeming you. Like, you have chosen to bury your head in the sand. Shouldn't say there's no redeeming you. I don't know what it would take for you to go, huh, I should probably stop watching this.
Yeah, you need to self-medicate there, right? Like, you need to break yourself off of that. Like, I don't know what the right way to do it for any individual person. Like, I know how it worked out for me and how I broke away from the idea that the news was informing me, I guess. Yeah. So as opposed to directing me, like, it's literally trying to direct your emotions on a kind of constant basis. So, and direct your thinking, which is what basically this guy's saying. He's like, you know, we guilted you into thinking one way and, you know, patted you on the back for thinking another way. And so we basically coddled you into thinking a certain way, and it wasn't good. It's not good.
Yeah. My wife had a sonogram, Thursday or Friday of last week. We're sitting in the waiting room and they have one of these news channels on, maybe it's like a Spectrum News or something, but it's zooming, like, going all these people on this. And I'm watching and reading some of the subtitles, and I made a comment to my wife at one point, like, it boggles my mind that people watch this and feel informed. Like, the number of things that they are just completely dishonest about in the framing of it, in the context of it, let alone what they're actually saying is, my God, this is propaganda to an extent that Joseph Goebbels would be like, come on. I had to work for mine.
Yeah.
This is wild.
I like to think this is a white pill moment for me. If, you know, NPR, like I said, it'd be great if we could actually literally have a handful. I'm trying to be greedy here, but I'd like infinite amounts. But I mean, even if I can just get a handful of independent news organizations that are willing to, like, just have a conversation about two sides of any given issue, like every single mainstream news outlet has an angle. Like, they all have an angle. And so, like, it sucks that you have to kind of know that they have an angle, be like, okay, well, let me go fucking check out the other side of the angle before I kind of make an informed decision here. So,
I mean, every legacy media corporation that exists right now is either a product of CIA Operation Mockingbird control.
But doesn't that sound crazy to people?
Yeah, like, but it's still true.
Sure, I know, but how do you tell somebody, oh, you know the news you're watching, Anderson Cooper, he's a CIA agent. You're like, oh, okay.
He's not an agent. He's
crazy just, person. Like, yeah, you're not getting controlled. You're not going to get past that. Like, you, I don't know how you get to the point where you're like, now apply all the stuff that information I just gave you to your news sources and let you try to figure out what's, you know, good, right or wrong. Like, they're so entrenched that they can't get past the idea that somebody's lying to them. Like, it's easier to fool somebody than it is to convince them they've been fooled. Like, after they're entrenched.
I mean, it's either that they're completely beholden to their largest advertisers, which are all military industrial complex or pharmaceutical companies, or they were born, and I'm looking at you, Fox News, of recognizing that nothing more than a market opportunity. It was with the intent of, we're going to be the one for the people on the right.
Up until a certain point.
Well, yeah, now it's changing. But for 20 years, that was the operation.
Sure. But in hindsight, can't you think like, okay, well, clearly they were, you know, they were the other side of the 3x5 index card of allowable opinion, right?
They were absolutely required. They were necessary at the time because it was so far in the... And I always made a point, like, the reason that Fox News beats everybody else in ratings is because it was the only one. If you didn't want to get all the way over it, we used to be like, well, you know, we knew CNN and MSNBC, but ABC and NBC are fair and impartial. And you're like, no, they're not. Yeah, no. Sorry.
They all suck.
All right.
It sucks.
And you saw it, like, over COVID. I think this was the most eye-opening thing. And if you start paying attention, whenever it comes to wars around the world, how There's never, ever a reason to question our government, and there's never a war we shouldn't be funding and fighting.
Yeah.
It's not an accident, guys.
Did you see my thumbnail that I made today? Mm-mm. What? I know I didn't share it with you, but...
What thumbnail?
The thumbnail I made for the show.
Oh, actually, no. I've been running around all morning. All right, I had stuff to do. I had to file an insurance claim. All right, well, I had to mail my money to the government.
One more follow-up.
Let's hit it.
FBI opens up criminal investigation into key bridge collapse.
I was going to send this to you.
The famous Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The one that we covered here 2 weeks ago and showed, I don't think either one of us, I think I'm fair by speaking for you here, initially thought there was anything overtly nefarious about anything. We were kind of like, all right, well, that a bunch of unforeseen circumstances kind of led to a certain thing, and I could see how that could happen, right? Interesting, though, that the FBI has now opened up a criminal investigation when they kind of came out right out of the chute and was like, oh, nothing to see here, you know, from that, you know, like the Leslie Nielsen from... where he's got the bullhorn and the fireworks or the machine, the fireworks store is on fire behind him. And he's like, there's nothing to see here. That's yeah, just kind of like, it seemed like that early on in the, like, why would they say that 3 hours after the collapse? Like, why would we even go there?
I don't want to cut you off, but you missed an opportunity to bring O.J. Simpson back in the show because he was wonderful in the Naked Gun movies for all of his faults.
Yeah, we're trying to shun O.J., so.
All right, we're done with that. Fair enough. And side note. Bills game a few years ago, somebody had the old school number 32 Bills jersey, O.J. Simpson's number, but on the back it said Nordberg, and it was the greatest jersey I've ever seen. Anyways,
that's fun.
Let's revert back here. Yeah, I find it interesting, and like I think we talked about this pretty well. Like, look, if you tell me that this is a cyber attack, I'm inclined to not doubt you because I don't know enough about them to tell you like this makes sense.
Maybe we should get Gary Malevsky back on, the guy.
Oh yeah,
remember him?
I do remember him.
That was quite the.
That was a great interview. God, I love that dude. He was talking about stuff I did not understand at all.
Yeah, that's great. He probably would really know this. But anyway, so.
But it seems possible.
That was kind of where we were at. I feel like when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, was like, all right, like if somebody's going to outline a cybersecurity hack that kind of did this, I'm open to that idea.
Right. But you know, the official story checks out in this
case. Right. It wasn't so there's no way that's true kind of thing. So I don't know.
So we'll see. It's interesting that the FBI decided to do that. I don't think they've actually publicly acknowledged it, though. I think this is according to sources. I don't think they've come out and said, we've made it a criminal investigation.
Well,
we'll see.
Think they'll redeem themselves and find something?
No. Only if they'd started it. Yeah. Only if it was their cyber attack.
I mean, so this just opens up the idea that this is really, they're just covering their ass now.
Yeah, they recruited somebody to
make sure we get this cleaned out.
Thinking they were going to thwart it.
Get this hard drive out of here.
Imagine being the FBI guy in charge of the mission that you're setting this guy up to do the cyber attack, thinking you're going to thwart him and save the day. And then you watch the ship hit the bridge like, oh, they're going to be so pissed.
All right. Sorry. And I feel like we should touch on the P. Diddy stuff here only because some crazy stuff is coming out for a while here. Like Justin Bieber was his manhood was taken by Diddy. That seems craziness. I saw it. I was, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I guess overlapping and related. And I only thought of it because I saw a very awkward video of Justin Bieber and Will Smith's kid.
Jaden,
yeah. They were very affectionate.
I saw that clip.
I've also become aware that Will Smith is just flat out homosexual and that the marriage the whole time was basically a farce. It's actually, again, for somebody who watches no movies, listens to no music, like I live like I'm uncultured, right? So like I'm thankfully the I think if I was paying attention to this, I would have saw some red flags early on. But like there's flat out people who are like, yeah, I walked in on Will bent over with Dwayne standing behind him, like not even like no. Like, clearly stating exactly, I was very clean in my paraphrasing of what that guy said. So,
I know, I heard it.
The whole industry seems bonkers to me. Like, whether or not that's your thing or not, like, whatever. But the idea that you have to kind of, like, they all move within this club. They're all into each other. But then they present this whole other thing outside to the public, and when they, you know, in front of the camera and behind the camera, whatever. It's I'm so thankful. I'm second most thankful about not embracing Hollywood as I am not embracing modern medicine. So I have avoided two gigantic, huge, like, just life sucks. And, like, you know, like, the, I don't know, I'm so happy that I'm not, like, a Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much.
Listen, I haven't seen
the movie. Because it seems demonic almost.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Coming from an atheist.
I've heard the same things from, I saw the interview where that it was like a former bodyguard said that about Will Smith. I haven't seen that like confirmed in many places.
Yeah, but I've heard other people talk about it too. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess I'm not trying to confirm that it seemed like it was out there though. If you were even paying attention, you would have come across this bit of information. Like, I'm just not looking ever right. at anything Hollywood. But if you would have just, like, if that was your thing, I think you would have saw some red flags that was actually a thing. So, like, and it's like I said, it's more of a, like, I don't really care what the people do in their
privacy.
Whatever, you know what I mean? Like, because I've got new wonderments about Dwayne Wade and his girl there, too. But anyway, so it seems like it's a weird world, and I don't think we have any idea what actually goes on.
Yeah, I think that, like, when you start looking into some of the allegations that are floating around Hollywood, it gets very, very uncomfortable very quickly. Like, there's a woman who has been claiming for years that Tom Hanks and his wife bought her as a minor from her father as a sex slave. Like, you can find this online. There's a lot floating on around Tom Hanks. There's a lot floating around about Will Smith, Diddy, obviously, and there has been for a while. It's weird. I'm not saying there's definitely truth.
I didn't load up 50 Cent's X account today, so that would have been fun. We should have done that.
Yeah, 50's just taking shots.
He's a check on 50 every time.
Everywhere. I love it. I'm glad I don't subscribe into the Hollywood idea. I never wanted to get into that world, and it seems like it's probably a good decision.
Yeah, like, I always joke, like, oh, the last two movies I've seen, actually one was a Will Smith movie, was I Am Legend.
Okay.
So that was the last time I saw a movie in the theater. And
it's
the
a good movie.
And the time before that was the very first Harry Potter with my kid when he was, like, 8.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I've seen two movies in, like,
interesting.
25 years, maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm really checked out.
Well, like, nobody's talking about Diddy anymore, though. Like, that
we are.
Story, we are.
It's like Epstein.
Where is he?
Okay, well, we got World War III to talk about.
Where's Diddy?
I think he's in Miami, but.
Interesting.
I don't really know.
All right.
We still got, did you get your Brendan Paul jersey?
Who's Brendan Paul?
He's the drug gun mule that Diddy.
Oh, played yeah, yeah. For, no, I did
play,
not.
Play
did
for
not
Syracuse.
No, I'm good. No.
All right. Well, two more things before we get off the air here, Mr. Husong. We have today, tax day even, we got Donald Trump. Jury selection begins today for the hush money trial, a.k.a. the Stormy Daniels rookie card trial. That's what I'm going to call it.
I like it.
Because I got to find one of those Stormy Daniels rookie cards.
You pervert.
Remember, I told you guys, if you find any of those, I think it's Wicked. They're like a movie production. I say movie. Movie production company. And... What?
Nothing. Nothing. It's as good a description as any.
I guess. Not really. But so that company apparently put out trading cards back in like the 90s. And Stormy Daniels, if you find one of her cards, they're worth a couple $100. So all you guys out there, all you preverts, go out there and look up your old Wicked card boxes and get your Stormy Daniels rookie card in a protective case.
All right.
Get that graded.
Yeah.
I'm sure PSA will love to have more Stormy Daniels cards come through their office.
I got nothing on this. I have nothing. I don't know what to say about this. I got nothing.
I know. But I only bring that up because this is the quote-unquote hush money trial, because this is the trial. And, you know, this might be the only one where he actually gets, I say, convicted. Obviously, he was fined in the A.G. James trial. But, like, I don't think the Georgia thing's ever going to materialize anything. And I don't think the Jake Smith... J. Jack Smith. Case is going anywhere. So this might be the last chance they really got to drag him through the mud here with Alvin Bragg and the this idea that Trump paid his lawyer, Michael Cohen, to keep Stormy Daniels from telling her story in the news, basically, and that he paid it out of campaign funds, and supposedly it's, you know, a no-no.
All right, so two things on this. Yeah. Number one, unless I'm mistaken, she sued him for defamation. He won, and she had to pay his legal fees.
That's possible.
No, that happened.
I believe you.
I don't remember who sued who, but she ended up owing him money, like having to cover his legal fees because the claim was so absurdly in his favor. Like, for you non-attorneys out there, of which I'm basically one now, but I used to be for that couple of years stretch, when you get awarded attorney fees, they don't do that unless it's a you wasted somebody's time, that there was no good faith on your part, there was no effort to even try, and you got to pay because otherwise it's you have a right to bring a case and they have to pay for a lawyer. So if they make you pay for the other side's lawyer, you did something bad. Like that's not nothing. So there's that. Here's the flip side, and this is where I hate being the Donald Trump defender, but of all the campaign finance violations that occur at a national political level, at every party, at every branch of government, at every state in the union, all the way to the national government, $220,000. That's the one that you've decided that we need to go into a actually try a politician for? Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, and Trump says that this was basically just a, okay, stop talking about me, payout. Like, okay, I don't really care. Again, as you point out, it's kind of piddly money, you know, even for broke-ass Trump, right? Like, right. He's got that in his couch. So his idea was that, yeah, I just wanted her to shut up. You know, I didn't care. I wasn't trying to cover up anything. I was just like, okay, go away kind of thing. And so, you know, I'm assuming that the alleged, you know, interaction between the two happened. Like, I don't have any reason to say it didn't happen.
No, like, I don't think it did, actually. Like, I think that was, I'm going to have to look this up, but
it doesn't change anything about the story to me. Like, I guess that's my point. It's like, okay, it literally means nothing. Like, it was Donald Trump in the 80s and 90s. Like, that's exactly what I would expect. But anyway, so.
Either way, if you're not going to start going after everybody, that's where people are having an objection to this because, oh, the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation was completely on the up and up with all the contributions that went there. No waste. The Obamas suddenly can afford a house in Martha's Vineyard after 8 years of making $200,000 a year. Like, guys, this has been George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, all of these people are doing this. So now we want to, like, this is our current president. My God, the number of things that you could find on him.
Yeah, like I said, this was kind of always thought of as the least important of the four cases against Trump, but because the other two cases, the Georgia case,
were such flaming embarrassments.
The Jack Smith case seemed to be going nowhere, that this is like the last thing they got before the election. So do I think he gets convicted? Probably, because I trust the, you know, New York judicial system very little. So unfortunately, that seems sad, but I don't know. Like I said, this probably goes away at some point, but obviously they'll try to drag this on for at least a few days, a week or whatever.
Stormy Daniels was ordered to pay $300,000 to Donald Trump after losing her defamation case appeal. She said she'll go to jail before she pays a penny.
Man, her rookie card's going to go even higher.
Yeah, so she sued him for defamation and lost so soundly that she had to pay his legal fees. Yeah,
well, put that in the feather in a cap of her credibility, I guess, right? Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, this is where maybe they did. I don't know, but it seems, you know, like this woman has more credibility issues than Donald Trump does. Never in the history of this nation and possibly the world has one man so regularly and predictably benefited from the ineptitude of his opponents. This is bananas how lucky this guy is that he is being attacked by the dumbest, most ethically challenged and worst human beings in the history of existence, because he as a person, I get there's some redeeming qualities, he's done some nice things, got it. Still kind of sucks, like, as a human being. This is not somebody you would look to and be like, There's my moral authority. He's not. Somehow the people coming after him are always worse.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I still have no idea who I'm going to vote for.
I'm still on the RFK bandwagon.
Yeah, I just can't do it.
I don't blame you. That's how I feel about the other two. I can't do it.
I was really had high hopes that he was going to announce some, like, you know, earth-shattering vice presidential candidate. A rumor had it that he asked Rand Paul, and Rand Paul declined. But if that was happening, I would have voted for
you'd
RFK.
You'd have voted, yeah. So.
And I have heard that RFK will not be seeking the Libertarian nomination. So,
well, not if they're going to get to select his VP pick when he's already selected.
That's part of our process.
I don't blame you, but that's what's going to happen.
Well, like I said, I was there on 2016 when Gary Johnson won, and everybody was like, we hate Bill Weld. We hate Bill Weld. And everybody was like, you know, Gary Johnson basically made a speech, man. Like, you got to give me Bill Weld. And so it ended up happening. We took a couple rounds of votes, but Larry Sharp ended up losing to Bill Weld by 31 votes. So
interesting.
Yeah. He was a dark horse.
Sure.
That's not even racial. Love Larry. That's back when Larry was unknown. Like, yeah. He was known within the New York thing, but he was not known on a national libertarian level at all. He's actually part of the ballot access team for RFK.
There you go.
So, all right. You wanted to talk about FISA. I was going to check and see if they're, do you know what time they're supposed to vote again today? But anyway, so we had a vote. Kind of a crazy vote on the extended warrantless spying powers for the federal government. And, you know, this was on Friday. It passed a bipartisan vote of 273 to 147. And I would like to make sure that I, where is it here? No, that's not it. No, that's not it. I don't have it up here. I wish I had the roll call up here.
So
I have it. Hold on. Give me one second here, Mr. Huson.
I got a good quote, actually, in the meantime. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Yeah. So we had... I was going to try to get the roll call here, but this format is terrible for
that's video. A long roll call.
Yeah. So I only wanted to point out that both representatives that kind of butt up against Onondaga County voted in favor of warrantless spying on you and I, which two things that Massey brought to our attention about this is, first, it carves out members of Congress. So if a FISA application is granted and there's investigation on a member of Congress, they get alerted by the FBI. But you know who doesn't get alerted, Mr. Huson? The representative's opponent, who might be running as a regular, normal citizen of this country, they would not be afforded that same luxury of a notification if an investigation was opened onto them. So seems like that not really a fair process in the actual rolling out of this thing seems like it would be a very problematic. I guess, and I don't know the loophole or the motion or the move or whatever that Representative Luna issued, and there's going to be another vote today. Now, the last vote ended 273 to 147, so they're going to need all the Republicans to vote no against it. So, like, I can't imagine that the neocons like Rep. Williams and Claudia Tenney are going to switch their votes, but there's going to be another vote.
Stefanik voted for it.
Yeah, she's terrible.
What in the hell is happening?
Yeah. They're not, these people aren't serious people. They are all swamp creatures and apparatus of the deep state. So, you know, Brandon Williams, rookie congressman, is immersed in neocon deep state swamp. So he's been terrible since he's been elected. So one of my worst votes I ever had was voting for that clown. So I hope we get a better, different result today with a new vote. I don't expect it at all. You know, even Massey, who's, you know, this his now famous tweet, this is how the Constitution dies. He basically, there was a... he was kind of like the only guy, like, sounding these alarms, or at least has been the front runner, the biggest cheerleader, if you will, of reform there. So, and Mike Lee in the Senate. So the Senate can still block this too. Obviously, this is just a House bill, but I'm assuming it passes. I don't see how the Senate's going to be able to stop it. And I know Biden will sign it. So who knows? I will see what happens here. But this is obviously a clear, in my terms, a violation of the Fourth Amendment. So I would like it to be different. I just think we have terrible leadership, so I don't think it's going to stay the same.
Yep, I agree. I find it fascinating that the same people who like understand at a visceral level that ultimately the state can't protect you from like a crime. So that's why we get big pro 2A guys out there or like, no, because ultimately if you're in a situation, you're going to be responsible for your own safety. But as soon as you drop the word terror in there, it's like, let the FBI do whatever it does. Like, everything. They need this. They don't need rules. They got to protect us. Like, how many times do these entities have to demonstrate their incompetence before we at least go, hey, maybe some checks, maybe some rules are warranted. Maybe, how many abuses of power do we need to see?
You heard Speaker Johnson, right? He was, he's been a long supposed,
advocate of
opposed
you can't have warrantless searches.
Right. And then what he said, he's like, oh, well, I finally got to talk to the people who told me otherwise, basically.
And I understand the importance now. Like, oh my God.
It's if you know what you're looking at, it's a clear example of how the whole country is run. That's all it is. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't matter what you think. As soon as you get into power, you are not put into power. You are not allowed to move into power without being able to be checked.
It does make me think that Vladimir Putin was onto something where he pointed out that, like, the old president leaves, the new one comes in, and they say all these grand things about all the things they're going to do, and then they get in office, and they don't do any of it, and nothing changes, and the policy stays the same. Yeah. Almost like the people that we elect aren't really in charge.
Weird.
Oh, that's where we're going to conspiracy theories again.
World War III, Mr. Hyosung. Trending on all social media platforms.
My bunker is not built yet.
Me neither. I'm not ready either. So, as you guys are well aware, Iran launched a major drone and missile attack on Israel. I think this happened on Saturday, probably right after your shop got broken into.
Yep.
Probably not correlated.
I knew exactly how they felt.
And so, now, Iran says this is in retaliation to Israel bombing the
Iranian embassy. Consulate.
Yeah.
Not the embassy. The consulate.
In Damascus, Syria. So, side note to that, it seems as though, rumor has it that the Biden administration was, when they were talking to Israel, like, hey, if you're going to attack Iran, at least give us a heads up so we kind of know what's happening. But they did not get that heads up when they attacked the consulate / embassy or whatever they attacked there.
So is Biden mad enough to stop giving them money?
Well, he says so. He's not mad enough to give them money, but he did say that they would, not support an Israeli response to the Iranian attack. I was also under the impression that the United States was negotiating with Iran, being like, this is what you can do and not do. If you do this, we won't, we won't side with Israel. If you keep it under, basically negotiated the guidelines of the attack.
Can I point something out here?
Sure. That's what the show's about.
You're right. Here's my confusion. Major drone and missile attacks. How many casualties?
Zero.
So I guess here's the question then. Is it possible that Iran doesn't know about Iron Dome?
It's not, no.
Of course not.
They know.
Is it possible that Iran doesn't have a single missile, weapon, or drone that could penetrate Iron Dome?
It's possible, but I think they do.
Of course they do. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So they launched the technical
term. They're one of the actually elite military forces in the Middle East. Like, right. They're not rebels. Standing. Yeah, they're not like Al-Qaeda.
It would seem to me that if the technical term being a shit ton of missiles and drones got launched from Iran into Israel and they had hours of notice and the Iron Dome stopped basically all of them, and there were zero casualties. Like, the people on X claim, like, oh, you think it's okay that they sent thousands of Israelis running into bunkers?
I'm just showing some video in the background.
Yeah. I just, like, it's almost as if they were just trying to do a response without causing further escalation.
Yeah, so
Israel's got to respond, but let's hope they follow suit and say, hey, maybe we don't need to kill anybody. Maybe you guys can also do just some stupid show of your great prowess.
And they kind of did that already, though, I feel like. They got to show off the Iron Dome. Iran got to be like, hey, citizens of Iran, we fought back against the evil empire, and, you know, they're just,
right,
you know, they got too much power on their sides, but we gave it what we could. And to your point, they have, it seems as though this was all just coordinated.
It was a show.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. Now, you're often playing with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of those things goes errant and hits the wrong person and whatever, and then all of a sudden you got some things you might not be able to control. Maybe that's what they want. You know what I mean?
It's if you keep playing stupid games enough, eventually you will win a stupid prize. Yeah. Like, and that's what I feel like they continue to do with this, and it's...
I mean, so do you think the idea that it cost $1 billion to defend Saturday night, the cost estimate is of how much it cost, do you think that will lubricate the funding wheels coming out of U.S. Congress for some Israel aid? Like, oh, no, we just spent $1 billion. We need to send them some money.
Yeah, and then they're going to link Ukraine money to it because God knows we got to throw $60 billion more over there. Obviously, this is crazy. Like, this is, I don't want to see this any more than anybody else does. But if you keep doing this, and I get it, like, well, they had to respond to October 7th. Okay, fine. But you act like October 7th was the beginning of all of this, and it wasn't. Like, they've been going back and forth, and I feel the same way about this situation that I do about most things involving powerful people in governments. There are no good guys. There's just bad guys, and we pick the side.
There's the picture.
I just saw Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, so I put the three neocons, Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, and John Bolton, all, like, praying, and this one I felt like John Bolton looked like he was staring at like a, you know, Playboy Playmate here. He's like, oh, adjusting his glasses, getting, yeah, like, oh yeah, he loves this. So.
Yeah, they're terrible. All three of them are just terrible people. And then
if there was ever a bus accident,
Joe Walsh, former,
oh yeah, what an idiot.
He came out like, an attack on Israel is an attack on America. Like, nope. By definition, no, it's not. Like, there's no treaty that says that. There's no, that's a whole different thing.
He's an idiot.
And then there was a great map on the Middle East. And it said, I put together this map to help the American government figure out how to handle things in the Middle East. And every country was labeled as not the U.S., not the U.S., not the U.S., not the U.S., not the U.S. Like, imagine if we just stayed in our lane of, we're going to protect shipping lanes. And that was it. Imagine if we did
that. There's no money in that, Mr. Huizong.
I know. I'm reminded of when the CIA investigated itself in the 1990s and found that it had no links between itself and the crack cocaine trade.
Yeah. Duh.
Or when the New York State Department of Health investigated its nursing home policy and concluded they did nothing wrong.
No.
It's amazing when you let organizations, especially government ones, investigate themselves, how little they discover wrongdoing.
It's like, you know, doing the auditors at the Fed audit themselves. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we're all good.
We did it perfectly, and you're all welcome.
Well, Mr. Huizong, it's been quite a weekend. Hopefully your weekend is less eventful than last weekend, but hopefully we're here on next Monday for a show, because who knows if World War III, you know.
We'll probably still broadcast.
Solar flares.
World War III starts. A solar flare would be the end of the show, yeah. That would be it.
And Bitcoin. The Bitcoin halving is coming up probably next week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know what that is?
Vaguely.
Yeah, it's like, it's a built-in protocol that makes it harder to acquire Bitcoin in the mining process. So
got it.
It happens, I think, every 4 years. It's basically increases, in theory, increases the work needed to get a Bitcoin, that it should increase the value as well. It makes it a little bit more difficult. And like I said, it gradually gets more and more difficult of the 21 million to get mined there. So
got it.
Wow.
Good show.
Yeah. I guess we're going to do this all again next Monday.
I hope so.
Yeah. The worst possible scenario would be if we didn't, so.
Maybe with less robberies.
Yeah. Less robberies is always good. I mean, we're going to talk about the federal government, so there's always going to be robberies, but let's less local.
And today is National Robbery Day.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I just want to take this opportunity to once again reaffirm my position. I'm trying to build some grassroots support for this, that we should pass some type of law, or I would go as far as a constitutional amendment, to ban withholding for income tax. I think everybody should just have to cut the check this time of year without it, like no refunds. You got to write the check that you actually owed.
I find it funny that we call it a refund when really the government just taking my money and giving it back to me at the end of the year for those who get refunds. But it's not, it's like,
it's you overpaid the government.
Right. You let the government you give them a loan.
Right. And I literally think if the average person on April 15th had to write a check, instead of getting $5,000 back, they had to write a check for even $3,000.
Right. Yeah.
They would be irate. Then we would actually be able to get some meaningful tax reform done.
Yeah.
Also, love paying FICA tax because I'm never going to see a dime of benefit from any of that at my age. So that's awesome.
All right. Well, life advice for Mr. Hewsong.
Not financial advice. Definitely I can not. Still get in trouble for that.
All right, folks. On that note, I'm guessing there'll be a litany of things for us to talk about next Monday. So hopefully we're still around for it. Other than touch grass, any lasting advice for the folks at home?
Don't hoard toilet paper this time when things go crazy. Don't be weird. Sorry.
Where'd that come from?
I just thought about it.
All right. All right, folks. On that note, we'll see you all again next Monday at 12 p.m. for episode 157 of Sports Clicks and Politics.